Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of In the Money. My name is Andrew McGowan, part of our trading strategy desk here at Fidelity. With me today, as always, is Tony Zhang, Chief Strategy Officer and co-founder over at Options Play. Tony, it's been a very interesting and volatile week since last Thursday. Glad to have you back on. How have you been?
Yeah, thank you so much, Andrew. It's been a pretty significant roller coaster in the markets, especially the bond market. So, really looking forward to kind of diving into what has changed and what our views are as a result of that.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. It's great to have you back on to share those insights with our clients, Tony. So today is Thursday, October 7th. As you mentioned, there's a lot happening in the market lately. We have seen the S&P find some volatility over the last week following the FOMC event and that jobs report at the end of last week. I know many traders and investors are doing their best to manage risk through this dynamic market environment. So with that being said, Tony, what are your current macroeconomic views? What developments are you watching?
Yeah, so before we dive into that, let's just kind of take a stock of where we currently are, right? We've seen about a nearly 31% return in the S&P 500 from the April lows, which was roughly nearly 4 months ago now. And this is really the first time in the last 4 months where we've started to see the markets show a little bit of volatility and show a little bit of consolidation after what has been such a strong rally here. And some of the optimism that we have seen over the last 4 months or so, we've started to see some of that fade as the concerns around a slowing economy are starting to take center stage. If you look at what has drastically changed here in the last week or so, you had the Fed meeting on Wednesday, which led us to believe that the rate cut in September was less likely to happen as a result of the data that's coming out. You had the inflation print on Thursday that solidified that view that September rate cut was likely not going to happen, with inflation surprising a little bit further to the upside. And all of that changed on Friday with the job numbers that came out that completely flipped the sentiment. Going into that Friday's jobs report, the market was expecting about only a 20% chance of a rate cut in September. Now we're looking at a 90 plus percent chance of a rate cut in September due to just how weak the labor market has been for the last 3 to 4 months. And not only are we expecting the first rate cut in September now, we're expecting two more cuts before the end of the year. So that's a pretty significant shift in terms of what the bond market has expected in just the last 5 days of trading. Put that into context. Rate cuts are, generally speaking, supportive of equities. However, the cycle that we're in right now is not a rate cut cycle that's being driven by a healthy economy and inflation reaching its target. What we're really seeing here is that inflation is remaining fairly sticky, and at the same time, labor market is weakening by a pretty significant margin. And not to mention the fact that, the consumer spending, consumer sentiment continues to erode and deteriorate. So, this is a much more defensive rate cut. This is not the ideal rate cut that you typically like to see. And it's hard sometimes to do the calculus as to whether these rate cuts are, a benefit to the markets, or the economy is slowing down so much that we have to cut rates is going to be a concern for equity investors. So we very much are shifting a bit more to a defensive tone here in terms of the markets. And I think in this type of market, at least in the short run, it makes sense to consider trimming some of your long exposure here in this market and potentially even looking at selling cover calls to generate some yield in this type of market environment, especially if the market consolidates and pulls back a little bit. That's a type of opportunity that can generate a little bit of income in your portfolio that provides a little bit of downside protection. You can also potentially use some of that income to buy some put protection to the downside if things do start accelerating to the downside. And then looking at the sector implications, the softness that we do see here in the markets, it is going to be potentially beneficial for some interest rate sensitive sectors. You do have quite a few sectors, including technology, that typically tends to perform well in rate cut environments. But also, we've seen housing, we've seen home improvement, retailing home improvement stocks starting to show some life here in this environment where we expect lower interest rates ahead. So you know, while the economy right now is starting to show some cracks, we do have to remember that just even the expectation of lower interest rates can potentially be a boost for both consumer confidence and consumer spending. And that's kind of what investors are potentially hoping for in the second half of 2025 at the moment.
I appreciate the insights, Tony. It seems like we've been looking at very similar things lately. As you mentioned, the macroeconomic picture and earnings has been a major driver of narratives over the past week. The main level of note seems to be the 20-day simple moving average on the S&P, which has been held since the later part of April and was broken for the first time in some time last week. We will see if bulls are able to defend this level now that it's being tested. On that note, if you would like to get daily live updates and market briefings on these important themes, please join us in the Trading Strategy Desk, our live coaching sessions at fidelity.com/coaching. But that being said, Anuja, you have a trade idea to discuss for us today. What is that trade idea and how can we think about the risk and reward opportunities that are out there?
Yeah, the stock that I want to take a look at here today and highlight is Lowe's, the home improvement stock, because we've seen home builders outperform the S&P 500 by a pretty decent margin here over the last 2 months, about 5% or so. And on top of that, Lowe's recently just broke out here from a trading range that it's been stuck in for roughly the last 5 months. So as Lowe's continues to try to break into the pro home builder market, we're starting to see some signs of the stock outperforming the S&P 500, starting to show some signs of accumulation. And I think now is a good time to be looking at this type of stock, especially as we head into an environment of potentially lower interest rates that generally tend to be supportive of home improvement and home building projects. So if you look at a chart here, you know, the breakout here, what I'm targeting here is around a $265 upside target, which was also the highs that we saw earlier this year for this particular stock. Now, if you look at the company from a fundamental or valuation perspective, the stock trades at about a 10 to 11% discount to the industry of around 19.5 times forward earnings versus the industry's average is around 22, about 11% discount. But, you know, that discount is actually, in my opinion, a sign that this stock is undervalued, because if you look at growth expectations, Lowe's is very much in line with the rest of the industry. We're expecting top line growth around 3%, bottom line growth around 6, 7%. Yet Lowe's is actually more profitable than the industry average. So net margins of around 8.5% is, you know, nearly 25% higher than the industry average. So, you know, Lowe's, while expecting to grow as fast as the industry and more profitable, trades at a discount. That's really where I see an opportunity from a valuation perspective. And then if you look at kind of what they've been doing with the business, you know, Lowe's for multiple years has been trying to catch up to Home Depot in the pro segment. And they recently have made some progress on this particular front. You know, they have about a 30% penetration here of the pro market with the recent relaunch of their loyalty program. And, you know, they focused their expansion lately in the last few years with, you know, underserved rural areas. They're expecting about 500 stores in the next few years in these kind of underserved markets. And that's an opportunity for them to gain some market share away from Home Depot. And just recently, you know, like many of these companies, retailing companies, they really have embraced, you know, technology, and they've recently announced partnerships with OpenAI, with NVIDIA and Palantir to kind of focus on building an AI-powered product marketplace. So we'll see kind of if that's going to be able to pay dividends from an e-commerce perspective, because a lot of these home improvement stores, they rely heavily on brick and mortar. And as they kind of look at and pivot towards e-commerce, this is really where Lowe's could potentially have an advantage because of their investments in this AI product marketplace. And lastly, like I said, just the macro environment right now with the rate cuts potentially starting in September, that generally is supportive of house-related spending. So, you know, that's why I think at this moment with Lowe's breaking out from that trading range and just the underlying fundamentals, it looks like a nice, a good opportunity for investors to start taking a look at this stock right now. And I think the way to play this here is to use options to buy upside with limited risk. So I think the structure that I like to use is a vertical spread, and I'm going out to the September expiration, which gives me just a little over a month in terms of time. And I'm looking at buying a 240 to 260 call vertical here. Earlier today, you can spend about $7.30 for this debit spread. And that means that I'm risking $730 per contract if Lowe's is below $240 by that September expiration, but I have a maximum profit of around $1,270 if Lowe's does make it back above $260 by that September expiration. Like I said, my upside target here is $265, which was the high that we saw here earlier this year. And I think that's a trade structure that gives you a positive risk-reward ratio that can capture this potential breakout if it does continue moving higher, with limited risk to the downside, at $730 per contract on a $240 stock, you're risking here in just a little over 2% of the stock's value to the downside while getting nearly 2-to-1 risk reward ratio if the breakout does continue moving higher.
Absolutely. A lot of great points. I appreciate the breakdown there, Tony. I want to, as always, point out that this is another example in which traders can combine a variety of perspectives from a top-down approach, both fundamentally and technically. But on top of that, it is a great example of how we can use options to efficiently allocate to risk, as Tony mentioned. With Lowe's trying to come out of a basing period, it's important to have a plan for the variety of potential outcomes. And when traders are comparing different strategies, the question of one leg versus two is generally one of those more popular questions. And as you mentioned, one of the benefits of this approach is that predefining of the risk and reward ratio that can help traders plan for that different variety of outcomes, as we mentioned, both in the event that they are right, but also, and maybe more importantly, in the event that we are wrong. So naturally, of course, that benefit does come with a cost. That certainty does come with a cost, but sometimes that cost can allow traders to feel better about those potential outcomes in different directions. But that being said, we have now covered this new trade. It's time to review a trade from prior episodes. These lookbacks generally very helpful for newer options trader because it allows them to see how those risks and rewards have played out in the real world. So with that being said, Tony, which trade are we looking back on this week?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, I laid out a bullish thesis here on Target when it was trading just shy of $104. And that time, what we looked at, it was selling an August 22nd, 103/95 put spread. And we collected about $3.35 for that put spread. Now, the stock hasn't moved a whole lot since then, but that's really some of the benefits of selling options is that you can be profitable even if the stock doesn't move. The stock's moved up about $3 since we've entered this particular trade, and that put spread that we sold originally for $3.35 is now trading at around $2.50. That means we've made about 25% of the total profit, the total maximum profit of this specific trade. Now, because whenever you sell options, as you head into expiration, you start to have exercise and assignment risk. That's why I always like to adjust or potentially roll these trades as we head into the expiration date. So with less than 3 weeks to go on this particular spread, I think the best thing to do is to simply close out the August 22nd put spread that we've sold initially a few weeks ago, take profits on that particular trade. And if you still believe in the thesis, which, that Target has upside potential, which I do because of the fact that, the recent test of that $100 support level has held and the valuations still remain incredibly compelling for Target if you compare it to a Kroger's or a Walmart, trading at much higher valuations. That's really what I like about Target here right now in this type of market environment, especially if we see retail confidence, retail spending pick up a little bit here in the second half. That's really where I think Target, from its valuation perspective, looks incredibly attractive. So I would advocate, if you are going to close out this particular trade and you still believe in this thesis, is to look at selling a new credit spread, but going out again closer to about 45-day expiration and collecting more premium and removing that exercise and assignment risk because we're going out to that September expiration. I'm looking at selling the 106 by 97 put spread. This is a put spread that is a little bit wider than the original one. And I'm collecting earlier today about $3.65 for that debit, for that credit spread, the $9 wide credit spread. I'm collecting $3.65. And because I'm effectively rolling the profits of that first trade into the second trade, my new net effective risk reward ratio is going to be $450 per contract of risk in exchange for $450 of a per contract of potential reward. And this is beneficial for a credit spread because credit spreads typically have negative risk reward, meaning you're typically risking more than what you can potentially make. The upside of credit spreads is that you have a high probability of profit. So here, what I'm able to do is by rolling the profits from the first trade into the second trade, I still maintain my high probability of profit. And on top of that, I have a risk reward ratio that is 1-1. And this is really where you, this is a good example of how you can adjust a position actively as you head into earnings, into expiration, and basically improve your risk to reward ratio as the thesis plays out in your favor.
Excellent stuff, Tony. That look back, like you mentioned, does demonstrate that power of active management and also why it's important to have a continuous outlook on price, time, and volatility. Even more so on spreads like this, it's important to consider, like you mentioned, how the risk and reward profile changes as the trade plays out. This trade has captured a portion of its original maximum gain, but sometimes traders can really anchor themselves to capturing the entirety of that maximum gain that they positioned for at the onset of the trade, overlooking the potential for it to turn around on them and the remaining risk that may be exposed in the position. As you mentioned too, that time frame remaining keeps us exposed to exercise and assignment risk as well as potentially gamma risk. So this allows us to capture some of those profits and reconfigure the trade going forward. That being said, this does bring us to a close for today's event. I want to thank all of our viewers for tuning in today. As always, don't forget to tune into the Trading Strategy Desk's follow-up session hosted by myself tomorrow, Friday at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can sign up for that class by going to fidelity.com/inthemoneyfollowup. We also offer a Fidelity Active Investor newsletter where we strive to provide meaningful and timely trading insights right to your inbox by going to fidelity.com/activeinvestorweekly. We're looking forward to seeing you all next week. Until then, take care, everyone.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of characteristics and risks of standardized options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options, such as spreads, straddles, and collars, as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you're most comfortable with. As with all of your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Indexes are unmanaged. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play, and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Copyright 2024 FMR LLC. All rights reserved. 1109225.1.0. Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.